So, what's on your mind today?
Kristen, I know I'm just throwing this at you, but do you want to say what's on your mind? Because you weren't able to be on the last call. Is there anything on your mind that you'd like to throw out for our conversation today?
No,
I know I didn't ask you to prep anything.
No, well, and you know, it's nothing has really kind of popped up. The one thing I was thinking about today is I feel like these folders I'm getting, you know, it doesn't take me as long to prepare them. So I don't know if it's just starting to become the routine that I'm starting to be able to finish them quicker or whatnot, but it just doesn't seem to be taking as long. So that's kind of nice. So yeah, it's really all that I was kind of thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
But yeah.
That's the spaced repetition. Repetition makes things go more effectively and more efficiently.
Yeah. That must be it. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're just doing it. And if you were hired and that was your job when you came in, you wouldn't think anything of it, you know.
Yeah.
Take a little bit to adjust to it when you didn't used to do it. Now you have to do it. Now you're into the kind of the roles, you know, the routine of getting them ready. And so are the executive summaries and the agendas going out efficiently, effectively? How are we doing on that?
The agendas are going out efficiently and effectively. Meetings are booked efficiently and effectively. I'm still behind on my executive summaries. I still send an executive summary for every client. It's just not the same turnaround that I had at the beginning. So, that was something that I mentioned in our last call, and it's still something that, that I need to work on. I kind of find myself, taking the foot off the gas pedal a little bit. Just slacking for no, there's no better word for it, right? Just deciding that I was going to stop work because the weather was really nice, and do that stuff instead of sending executive summaries. So, but they are, every client's still getting one. It's just, you know, could be a couple day delay. Feedback's still good on that as well.
So can you do them in between calls?
I'm finding that, so I have to either get more disciplined on shortening calls, or I don't have the time in between. What I'm finding is that, you know, for example, the two meetings I had today, they were monthly touch base calls that ran 45 to 50 minutes. So I had 10 minutes in between calls to fill up the coffee, go to the bathroom, grab the folder and go. So and that's a fairly consistent experience. I find that, most of my monthly touch base calls run 40 minutes.
Can you do them in 30?
I can endeavor to do that. Yeah. Right. And they should be done in 30.
Yeah. I mean, it's like me, you know, I'm doing the same thing. I'm running my meeting 45 minutes and they're 30 minutes. I'm getting paid for 30 minutes and I'm running them 45 minutes.
Yeah.
To an hour, you know, cause I'm enjoying the conversation.
Well, that's the thing I'm having. And I say that to clients as well when this month, Rob, we put a bit of a layup agenda item on because we were looking for a way to start introducing the idea of, we're open for business and talking about referrals. So we have a agenda item called update on Bauer and Associates. And so we're just talking about what's going on our side of the phone, how we're bringing things together, role definition. And, you know, we, based on you had that suggestion that we reach out to our internal wealth planner and bring him in to help with that capacity. And so I'm introducing that, you know, saying we're looking for ways to get better. We're looking for ways to build capacity. And, you know, Jason's coming on and you're going to hear more about him over the next 2 years, but here's why we're doing this. And then, I'm reminding clients, and I said, and we're also just reminding clients that we are open for business. We do have capacity for 10 new clients, just like yourself. And that won't impact your level of service in any way, shape or form, because now we know our defined capacity and we're looking forward to growing into that. So I'm introducing the idea of referrals with every conversation now. But the other piece clients are saying this, and I'm saying this to clients too, which is the service platform and the prepared calls and thinking about it in advance, our conversations are way deeper and way better, but then they're running 45 minutes because we're getting deeper and deeper and deeper into the relationship. So that's a challenge I suppose, you know, that'll start waning as we continue doing this with clients, right? We're still not a year into this adventure yet.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I'm trying to do, as hard as it is to finish the calls a little sooner and make sure that I'm doing my job, which is asking you what you want me to hold you accountable. So it's kind of one of those things where you need to, there's got to be an action step at the end of every call. Either you're going to do something or they're going to do something to move you forward. Okay.
Seems to be an action.
I don't think I'd ever end a call where I didn't have a purpose. Okay. So either I'm going to do something for them, or they're going to do something for me, or we're going to do something for each other, and we're going to hold ourselves accountable to that in the executive summary for the next month for that call. Right? And I wouldn't think there'd be any time where you wouldn't have a client that, you know, would you ever have a client that didn't need to do something, right? Especially when it comes to estate planning. Are they really?
And we're not deep enough into the estate planning conversation with clients, like in the wealth planning conversation with clients, to get there. So that's absolutely, that'll come for sure.
Okay.
That's going to come as we continue leaning into that and rolling forward with that.
Maybe the next step is our next step. Maybe the next step is simply introducing the next step that we're going to go to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, so what the takeaway on that is. So when we started talking to Jason, who's the wealth planner in our branch. We decided that we identified five clients that would be great to start with. And then we're getting the first two going, and they're now at a point where we're very close to scheduling presentation, and then we'll kick off another two because we're trying to figure out our process first before we jam the pipe too much. But that's a wonderful takeaway for me, which is looking at the calls coming up over the next month here and making sure that I'm introducing the next step on getting that plan started for those clients. That's good.
Yeah, because, you know, you're trying to get them. I mean, this is wealth planning and estate planning is not possible without clients' engagement.
Yeah.
So you can do everything, and they don't do anything. You're stuck. You know, that's procrastination at its finest when it comes to, you know, our own mortality is something we don't want to spend any more time on than we have to. And so Larry Wilson used to say to me, your job, Rob, is to help people grow up, meaning face their mortality, and to make better decisions. Okay, so grow up and deal with the reality of, and if you weren't here tomorrow, what would happen? I mean, that's really an interesting mm-hmm. question, right? If something happened tonight, what would happen tomorrow?
Right.
You know, is everything taken care of to the point where mm-hmm. you're proud of it? You know, my mother used to always say, change your underwear because in case you go to the doctors, we don't want you to have dirty underwear.
Right.
Right. That was kind of to me, but the idea is that even in our mortality, we want to have people leave our legacy of intelligence, right? I always tell people that you want to make your clients feel smart and avoid feeling dumb.
Right.
And to die with no planning is to be frankly ignorant. Right.
And I really like that question that you had there, which is if something happened tonight, what would tomorrow look like? And I think that's a great 2-hour conversation.
No, it's like, but, you say yeah. everything's all taken care of. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me challenge right. you. Something yeah, happened right. to you tonight, you don't wake up.
Yeah.
What happens tomorrow? Exactly.
Yeah.
Besides all the crying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's
good. I like that.
Yeah. What then happens? Is it? Are you really ready? I mean, is everything set? Do you know everything's set? Right. No, you don't have a clue.
Right.
Right. So let's just spend the next year making sure that everything's taken care of.
Yeah.
We got time. We hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just had one, I encourage everybody to go through and do beneficiaries. Make sure that all the life insurance, all the annuities, all the 401ks and IRAs and everything has beneficiaries. And one of my clients in Texas said, I had a client do this and he's on his third wife and he was very ill and he went through and everything was a mess. All his right. IRAs and were in beneficiary of the first wife and life insurance of the first wife. And the second wife was really pissed. But the
yeah.
third, yes. So
yeah.
the point is, especially if it hasn't been a simple situation,
you know,
there have been a couple of wives, then. Mm-hmm. Probably fraught with danger.
Yeah. No, that's good. And we did do, well, we focused, we did do a beneficiary run last month.
I think it
was it 2 months ago?
March. I think it was March.
Yeah. And it was a good experience because we had to update a bunch of our stuff, but I didn't lean into the other parts of the financial world for the clients, like life insurance, pensions. We just looked at what we had here. And that's me having to get out of the mindset of what we have here and get into the broader discussion. That's my own,
pretend it's your fear. Dad.
Yeah.
Pretend it's your dad. And
yeah, absolutely.
Who's the beneficiary of the disability?
Yeah.
Right. So 5 times more likely to be disabled than die. So, you know, what does that look like? Make sure mm-hmm. that that's not the first wife. You know?
Yeah. No, it's so, true. Very yeah. true. Okay. That's good. These are good takeaways.
How about
sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to kind of reflect on some of the marketing ideas, niches and centers of influence mm-hmm. and mastermind groups and things like that.
Yeah, go right ahead. So what would you like to, where would you like to go on that?
Well, progress. Have you made progress?
Right. So mastermind group, no. Niches, a little bit, but not a lot. So, what that looks like is I'm still, building out the, niche folder on ag business, like the ag manufacturing or short line manufacturing, and in turn, ag related. now the next step is to lean into. So I've got to do a call here this week to a client's accountant, and she fits neatly within the niche. But what I'm learning as I'm gathering accountants' information and other financial provider information from our ag clients is that there is one accounting firm in Saskatchewan that specializes in that space, and they seem to have all the big players. So from there, that's the next step. So continuing to lean into that, which is great. And I didn't realize that until I started, you know, having these conversations with clients, and then in turn with other industry people. So now I know that there's a ag specific accounting firm that seems to attract all of the large farming businesses. So that's great, and that's in the pipe.
That's really important. Now, is there one law firm?
Not that I've come across yet, but there's. So what I'm working on is that, so one of my clients, his accountant, her partner, her husband is a lawyer. So I'm working on figuring out that law firm to see if they in turn focus specifically on ag, but I haven't come across one that that's come up regularly, which I'm sure there is one. I just haven't come across it yet.
Right. Okay, and, so think about it for a minute. You're talking farmers, right? And then you're the manufacturers of the equipment that sell to the farmers. So those are two separate niches.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Excuse me. They might each have their own. Thank you. They might each have their own mastermind group, meaning one group would have a CPA, an attorney, a realtor, right? Think about it, right? They both, one buys commercial real estate property and the other one buys farm or sells farms. Right. And people specialize, right, in one or the other. They probably don't do both unless they're a really big real estate firm. And maybe that's a local thing, and maybe it's not. I mean, I'm impressed that there's one firm that does the accounting or has captured that market. But just think about that.
Yeah.
The very fact that they've done that is probably a conscious effort.
Right.
Right? So that's
And they built out the partners in that accounting firm. They built out offices in rural communities, which, you know, was a conscious decision of theirs, certainly, right?
Right.
Otherwise, you know, there's not a lot of scale to a rural community, but they built that network.
I mean, there is no better time than right now. I mean, I noticed that the loonie is stronger versus the dollar, and that's no accident with oil and ag products being as strong as they are, and inflation coming. You guys really benefit from inflation.
Yeah.
I mean, it hurts.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a really good chance that we could have a very strong boom, particularly in our province as well. And the prices that, that our producers are able to get right now is pretty wild. And then in turn, over the last 6 months, we've had, three major announcements of canola crushing plants coming into Saskatchewan. And these are $300-400 million plants to crush canola, and in particular because of the biodiesel demand and canola being a fantastic input. And we're one of the arable land areas that can grow canola very well. So, you know, there's some interesting stuff happening there. But the thing is, we're still not out of the woods with drought. We did just have some rains come through. So that it's enough moisture for germination and for the plants to probably break out of the soil, but we still need some more because we were starting from a really dry base. So, But that's a North American problem too. There's been a not very much moisture across the continent, right? So, right. It'll be, I agree with you. It's an interesting time. It could be a perfect storm for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, you've got to give yourself a time to get in front of it. You don't want to be in the middle of a storm when you're trying to plant seeds, you know, right. So, get those seeds planted now. Right. So this has got to be a priority. And you do, you know, you don't have the kind of urgency about this that you would have if it was a company going public or something, but you still have lots of transactions that are going on that you're not a party to. And you know that, right? I mean, they're just happening and you want to be a party to it. I mean, and that's just having lots of ears to the ground that are telling you, well, this is happening and it's $30 million and we'd like you to be a part of it. And that's just, you know, that there's no better time to build a lifetime career than right now. And that's really what you do when you do something like this. You get out in front of this, you can get swept along in a big way. These people have a lot of money. Every one of them, every one that you land is a big deal. And, you know, they're all game changers. So you got to have time for that and do a good job and make friends. You know, I'm doing a little talk for half an hour on building niches and developing centers of influence. And the answer is you first build something that you're proud of. Build a practice that's referable, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're not proud of your own practice, you're never going to ask for introductions. If you don't think you're worth it. But once you think, you know what I do, I'm killing myself here. What I do is so different from anybody else. I deserve it, right? I deserve these introductions. Nobody's going to do a better job than I am. So let's go get them now. All right. And once you get your mindset that you deserve it, now you go out and you build trust. The first thing you got to make sure they understand is that you're not there to lose their clients' money. Right. Right. So when they refer business to you, you have a process for investing the money that is stable, continuous, just like your service process. And that's the thing. If you can teach them your service process, they know their investment process is going to be as disciplined as that. Because no one would have a service process like that without a good, solid investment process.
Right.
And so that by itself convinces them that you're a worthy candidate. And then you make friends with them. And it takes time to make friends, but the best way to make friends is to do business with them.
Yeah.
So do business with the accountant, with the lawyer, with the realtor and others. Even if it's not a ton of business, just get them on the books and give them 1242 and the rapid response and the whole thing. You know, get them to understand what it is that you do and how you do it. And then you'll build confidence. The other thing to do is to be frank with them, which nobody is willing to do. And ask them, who are the top three people that you refer to now?
Right. Sorry, I'm just making notes here.
Yeah. And then the question is, and I used to do this with institutional business. I'd say, so what number are we? They say you're number four. And I'd say, how do we become number one?
Right.
And they would say, because, you know, show me more product. Show me earlier. And I turned to my financial advisor when we'd walk out of the meeting. I said, show more product, do it earlier. I'd like to be number one. He goes, okay. We'd move up. He didn't know. He never asked the question. He thought he was number one, right? He was number four. So he didn't show him enough. So the question is, okay, how do we become number one then? Well, I've known these people for 20 years and such, but, you know, I'd like to be number four at least. And I go, okay. Right. So every fourth referral. And you know, you can encourage them to do the same thing that you should be doing, which is giving more than one introduction. In the States, we're required to give three names when we refer somebody.
Right.
And so that's not hard to be part of that. If they're referring three people, you should be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It gets back to our enthusiastically endorsed model.
Yeah. Okay.
The other thing to do is to talk to these people and say, look, remember the, how do you develop a niche? You ask the question. I'm thinking about building my practice around this particular niche. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Around the ag business, farmers. I'm thinking about building my practice around those that serve farmers, the ag equipment. Do you think that's a good idea? Like, I'm in Nashville today, and I tell you what, I walk around the city every morning and every evening, and there are more hard hats and yellow vests walking around the streets of Nashville than anybody else. Meaning there's so much construction going on, it's insane. So what does that say to Rob Knapp? If Rob Knapp was a Nashville financial advisor, what would he be looking at? He'd be looking at contractors, right? Major construction companies. They're making a fortune in my city. They should be doing some business in my city.
Right.
Right? They may be out of Atlanta, but why aren't you doing some of that money into our city?
Right?
And they say, well, I do business in Montreal. And you go, hey, how about doing some business locally? You know? The other thing I used to tell people is everybody should have a relationship with our firm. Why? Why that? Because everybody, you should know what we think. Right? You should know what we're thinking. Mm-hmm. You should know what we're, you know, what your opinion is on your companies you own. We were, you know, Merrill Lynch was a major player and I could say that. I also used to tell them I was assigned to their territory. This is my territory. I'm assigned to you. I'd like to serve you. What can I do for you? What do you mean you're assigned? Well, you got geographic assignments. You're mine. I own you.
You know what? That comment just reminded me of something I read the other day, which was, I can't remember which firm it was, whether it was Goldman Sachs, whether it was JP or Fidelity or whoever it might be, but there was a piece about how they're no longer allowing / training cold calling.
Merrill Lynch.
Merrill Lynch. There you go. Which was interesting. That just caught my eye when I saw that, and all the implications that come from that. But one of the things that's happened, and so the in Canada we have what's called a brokerage report card, where the investment executive magazine calls around to investment advisors, and then investment advisors rank their firm based on a number of criteria. And our firm didn't rank very well in the latest brokerage report card. And one of the things is because our firm is combining the private wealth team with the brokerage team. So what's happening is there's a culture conflict right now in our firm, right? So you've got we've got individuals like myself where we've been mentored and grown up in the entrepreneurial culture where the buck stops here, where we're in control of our destiny to some aspect, right? And we think of ourselves as small business owners. And then now we've got a more traditional bank style management process layer coming on top. And we're starting to be, feel like we're being treated like employees. Not, I don't know if that's reality because I haven't had to change the way I do business, but that's the perception that's coming across. And it just kind of, when I see Canada tends to follow what the US does, but with about a 5-year lag. So I'm just looking at that saying, okay, well, this is coming across the border pretty soon. You know, not that I'm cold calling, but it's the aspect of internal referral generation amongst the firm, right? The firm is the brand. Then there's the employees that hawk the product. I'm a little concerned about that, right?
Yeah, I think you don't need to worry. I don't think that that's reality going to ever happen in our business because the business is so mobile. I mean, if they do that, everybody goes independent and goodbye. You know, so it's just
that's happening in our firm right now.
Yeah, it's a bad economic decision to try and, you know, put people quote on salary and all that. So I just wouldn't don't even put that in your head because it's just a myth. It's it's not going to happen. The cold calling thing, where in my 7 strategies for growing your practice?
It's not there yet.
It's cold call, right?
Yeah.
No, it isn't. But, you know, initiating contact.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can initiate contacts with LinkedIn and get introductions and, you know, all kinds of ways of making introductions. And what's per se is a cold call. You know, I've been referred to by such and such.
Yeah.
And therefore it's not a cold call, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So I would always be referred by somebody.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's just interesting that the industry is leaning into what you're doing, right? And what you've been trying to do for a long time. Right?
For a long time. Just because it's been obvious, it's been on the wall and most of us that are senior never really walk, you know, if I went back into practice tomorrow, I certainly wouldn't want a cold call. So why would I teach it, you know?
Yep.
So the whole thing is based on relationships and relationship building and networking and being a connector. And so again, we get back to, are you giving enough introductions to be considered a center of influence and a connector?
Right.
You know, last week, how many?
And I'm not. Full on, I'm not, right?
Yeah. So, you know, if I'm not a center of influence, how can I, you know, engage others?
You have no leverage.
No leverage.
Okay.
So the way we measure.
That's a very precise way to put that concept, which is, am I a center of influence?
Yeah. And the way we measure that is by, Kristen, is by tracking it. That's our game board. We don't track the number of introductions we get. We track the number of introductions we give. If you read carefully that chapter, it says track the introductions given. Why? Because the law of reciprocity is a law. And it will come back. So if you give enough, and it may be a lot, but if you give enough, you will get.
Right.
And so the question is, if you give 20 introductions, do you think you get 0 back? Take 20 couples to dinner and pay for it. Or have 20 couples over to your house for dinner. And how many introductions, how many dinners will you be invited to?
Right.
Right? Have 20 couples over for a party. How many times will you then be invited to parties?
Right.
Okay. So when people don't engage in this process, they don't really believe it. Or they don't believe it will work for them.
Yeah.
It works for everybody else, but it won't work for me. And that's fear. you know, so it's either bad self-image or fear, right? A pessimist is, to me is a person who struggles with their self-image. Okay. They just don't think good things are going to happen to them. And life is not that great. And a person that's an optimist has a pretty good self-image. They think everything's going to be turning out pretty good for them. So one of the things to do is in optimism, there's a book called Learned Optimism. You can actually learn to be an optimist and expect good things to happen to you. And the basic premise is that you learn to expect good things to happen to you by expecting good things to happen to you. Just change your life by changing your attitude. And just catch yourself before you are talking yourself. I mean, when, I don't know if you saw Phil Mickelson's, amazing, feat this week.
No, I didn't see that. No.
He's 50 years old. He won the PGA tournament, one of the greatest tournaments of all time. And one of the greatest 4 days of all time by a 50-year-old, particularly. Oldest man to ever win a major. And he did it, I think, 100% because of his control of his mental. It's like 80% mental and the rest is physical. He's capable and he's always been capable. But what happens is that the, when you stand up there, instead of visualizing where, the, where you want the ball to go, you visualize where, the, where you don't want the ball to go. Okay. You visualize the bad things happening to you and therefore you snap hook it into the woods. And so it's the same thing here. Visualize what you want to have happen.
Right.
Plan it out. Get it down to the detail of exactly how this is going to go. And then watch how amazingly it goes, just like you thought. But if you don't visualize it and see it ahead of time, it won't happen as well.
Right. Okay.
So every one of these guys has got a psychologist he's working with as well as a swing coach. So we as corporate athletes need to have technical skills, but we need a psychologist too.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is good.
So, all right. So, things you need to do for the next time. Things you're going to commit to actually doing.
Probably the biggest thing is going to be to move the needle on the Agnich. So the thing that I am going to commit to doing before the next call is I want to do a little bit of work on this reaching out to the right niche COI and asking them about, you know, I'm thinking of building my practice around farms going through transition. You know, do you think this is a good idea? What can I do to, because I got a natural segue on the conversation that I got to have with them anyways, you know, about a wealth plan we're building out for a common client. So this, I think that's what I'm going to do. And then I'll hopefully have some actual takeaways from that as well.
So that's is that with a CPA?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. In the firm that has specialized in ag clients, right?
So. Good. Is that enough?
I think that's enough for me right now.
Okay. How about tracking?
I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but.
How about tracking giving?
So we can, like, there's no reason why we can't track giving. You know, when I reflect on, we can track giving.
You remember how you find out, how you encourage your opportunity to give? Do you remember what question you asked?
Nope.
Can you enthusiastically endorse your blank? CPA, attorney, realtor. So that will get you to give. Out of 10 people you ask the question to, one or two will need an introduction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So just go through and just, hey, by the way, I'm doing a survey just to make sure that everybody has a great relationship with their CPA. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA?
Yeah.
Okay. And they go, oh, he's fine. No, he's terrible. Or he's great. Right? He's great. You want to meet him. And he's terrible. You want an opportunity to introduce somebody that is great. I mean, think about what you're doing then. You're just doing a quality assurance that the client has the best of everything.
Right.
Why should one of your clients not have a great CPA that he's happy with? And just like most things, they just haven't gotten around to changing.
Right.
Right? And you're going to be the catalyst. You're the connector. So to be a center of influence, you have to be a center of influence.
Right.
Okay? To have centers of influence, you have to be a center of influence. So begin the connection process.
Yep.
Okay?
Sounds good.
So, Kristen, your job is to track the number of introductions given each week.
Okay. And so if Eric's having that conversation, he'll just like write it in the folder and then I'll figure out a way to track it. Okay.
Yeah, you should have a little giving board that you write these things down on.
Yeah, and we do have that to some degree. It's maybe morphed into something a little bit different in our weekly tracking. Yeah, we can do that.
All right. Have fun with it. Don't make it hard work. You're helping. You're giving.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I think, but see here, the problem is, Rob, it's great to say introductions given, but I don't even have the pipeline of people to refer to. I still don't have anybody that I can enthusiastically endorse as a CPA.
Then you better start making some calls to find some people you can.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I can't even take these because I don't have anybody to refer to. So.
Well, and we also have the.
What a great conversation to have with a CPA.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I need somebody to refer to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to be 100%. That person?
Yeah.
I've got all these rich farmers. I've got all these rich farmers. I need to refer them to somebody. Would you like them?
Yeah.
I was just going to say the one issue I could see having though too about doing that is we're going to have to be kind of, area specific. Cause I mean, not everyone lives where we are. So is that going to be, I mean, you're not going to.
You got to know people in
every area.
Yeah.
We'll have to figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's part of a networking thing. You become a networker. And so you build a nice big book in each area.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, she's
okay.
It's good. Cool. Remember, you're going to be in this business your whole life. You got.
Yeah.
Just but you, every first step, right? Every journey begins with the first step. Just begin the first steps.
Okay.
But don't Sounds not good. Do anything. Come on. You can do more.
Doing nothing is really comfortable, though, Rob.
I understand.
It's really cozy. It's not challenging. Yeah,
The snow is melting. You can come out of your den now.
Yeah, I can come out of my hole, but I just want to go sit on the beach. I don't want to work hard. Come on.
Okay, I understand.
It was a long, cold winter in the basement. Come on.
You can sit on the beach and refer people.
Okay, all right.
See ya. Bye, guys.
All right, take care. Cheers, bye.